Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Fort McHenry, the historic site best known for its pivotal role in the War of 1812, defending Baltimore's harbor from attack by the British Navy, is associated with countless stirring stories about men who bravely led troops into combat, who won battles, and one who penned our national anthem. What about the women of Fort McHenry? You don't hear as much about them. Until now. Shannon McLucas, a National Park Ranger and interpreter at Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine, has designed a walking tour called Proprietress, Patriot, Nurse, and Spy, The Unconventional Women of Fort McHenry. It takes place tomorrow, Saturday, at 1 p.m. McLucas also serves as the park's volunteer program coordinator, and she's with us in studio to give us a preview. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Is this the first time there's a walking tour that focuses on the women of Fort McHenry?
I'm not certain it's the first time, because we have spoken about women before, but it's the first time in many years. And I've been there for about 9 years, and I haven't seen one yet. But this is Women's History Month, and so in the National Park Service, one of the things we're very adamant about is telling all American stories. And so I thought, you know, why not give it a go and write a new tour that will incorporate some of these lesser-known stories at Fort McHenry.
Why is it important to design a tour that focuses on women associated with Fort McHenry?
Well, in many ways, you know, we have, when we think about women's history, actually, I should say, when we think about the history of Fort McHenry, we tend not to focus on women's history because it's, at that point in time, it's a more martial story, and we're looking at a battle, and we're not focusing as much on the roles of women, but we can't set aside the role of women in any time period in history. And John Blum, the historian, used to say, history is the story of men and women acting in time and circumstance. And women are very much a part of that circumstance, whether it's the War of 1812 or the Civil War or the First World War or the Second World War. They have a contribution to make. And though it may not be wearing a uniform and engaged in a battle, they offer something to the culture, the society of the period. And sometimes later on, you are going to find women in uniform serving in a more military capacity, even if not in combat.
Was it hard to come up with material for your walking tour about women?
Well, it's a little challenging for a site like this. But one of the women that people do think about is the woman who made the Star-Spangled Banner. And you hear about her in Baltimore, certainly, because her home is here, the flag house just off of Pratt Street. And they talk about Mary's life.
Mary
Young Pickersgill. She actually, she's known for making the flag, but she has a life that's far more interesting than that when we actually think about her life beyond the banner, if you would, is that she is a flag maker by trade, but not only that, when you think in 1813, she's an independent businesswoman. You know, I usually encourage visitors to think of her in that way.
Let me just interject. Some of us confuse Mary Pickersgill with Betsy Ross, but Mary Pickersgill was the one who made the flag at Fort McHenry.
Yes.
In 1812.
She made two flags for Fort McHenry in 1813 at the request of George Armistead, who was the commanding officer of Fort McHenry. And she makes these by hand with the assistance of a few girls who are in around 13 to 14 years of age. One includes her daughter, Caroline, and then her two nieces, and a young African-American girl who was an indentured servant. Her name was Grace Wisher, and we're learning more and more about her. So I've looked at her life a bit more to see what she does beyond the Star-Spangled Banner.
Tell us more. What more is there to her story?
Well, the thing that we want to try and think about, typically people think of a flag maker and they get the image of sort of a little lady just sitting there with her sewing. And making flags at that point in time was also a man's business as well, not something that is solely a woman's business. And so she's competing with flag makers who are down in Fells Point, not too far from her home. She gets this contract, and it's just one of many. It just happens to be an unusual one because it's a larger flag for the garrison. But when you think about her in the context of you know, the time period 1813, she's an independent businesswoman. She owns her own business. She owns her own property. She's very successful on her own because at that point she had been widowed in the early 1800s, and then so based on the Femme Sole laws of Maryland at that point, she could own property. And so she continues her business. She supports, of course, her daughter, but then her mother moves in with her as well. So she supports her household. She grows that business. And what she gets involved in later on is the Impartial Female Humane Society, which was a social support group, if you will, for women in the Baltimore area. And so she becomes a philanthropist. And what we now know of as the Pickersgill Retirement Community is connected to the Impartial Female Humane Society. Yes, the one in Towson. They had built a home for aged women and then one for aged men. And out of that emerges eventually the Pickersgill Retirement Community. And there's also an annual award that's presented in Baltimore each year called the Mary Pickersgill Award, and it focuses on women in business. So one of the things I like to look at, there is this broader theme in women's history of shifting from that largely domestic private sphere into the more public sphere. And some of these women stretch out and do that. And they in some ways break these traditional gender roles, but they stretch out and they start moving into what one might consider a man's world, so to speak. But they involve themselves in these great circumstances.
That's Fort McHenry Ranger Shannon McLucas here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about proprietress, patriot, nurse, and spy, the unconventional women of Fort McHenry, which is a Ranger tour that's taking place tomorrow, Saturday, at Fort McHenry in honor of Women's History Month. There's a spy
yes.
on the tour?
Yes. There's a spy named Susan Archer Talley. It's actually Susan Archer Talley Weiss. She marries quite quietly when she's at Fort McHenry. But she is a spy. She's from Virginia. So she's a secessionist.
This is what era?
Oh, the American Civil War. So we're skipping ahead now to the 1860s. And Talley is arrested by Union soldiers in Virginia, and then she's transferred to Fort McHenry, which during that period was not only an active artillery garrison, but with the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus throughout Maryland, it's home to many prisoners of state. And of the 260 prisoners of state who were held at Fort McHenry during the Civil War, there was one woman, and that was Susan Archer Talley. Now, she, in her early life, she actually published her first poetry at the age of 16, but she was acquainted with and very much influenced by Edgar Allan Poe, so there's another local connection. But Talley, being a Southern sympathizer, growing up in Virginia, she smuggled documents in her hair. She would actually take the documents, roll them up, and plait them in her hair in what looked like ribbons. And so a few times in her life she was intercepted doing this. She was treated very well by the officers. But when she came to Fort McHenry, General John Dix, who was the commanding officer at that point in time, mandated that she be placed in solitary confinement. And so she is for some time, but then Major Morris, who is one of the other officers on site at Fort McHenry, allows her some latitude, and she has a bit more freedom to move about the fort's grounds, under guard, of course, but she's able to walk around, and she actually she has conversations with Major Morris, and then eventually she meets a Lieutenant Weiss, who the story goes that she becomes involved with, or at least emotionally involved with, and then they very quietly marry, and they're going to meet later on. They do end up in New York together later on after the war, and they'll eventually divorce. So she's sometimes known as Susan Archer Talley Weiss, and then later on, after her divorce, she makes a living supporting her son on her own through her writings as Susan Archer Talley. She was described by General John Dix as the most obstinate rebel he had ever encountered. So she's a determined and fierce woman in that time period, and it's a very trying time. But her dedication is fairly admirable.
Moving forward to World War I, Fort McHenry is known for the biggest stateside military hospital. So the nurse in the title of your tour is from that era?
Yes. Emily Rayne Williams. She was one of over 300 nurses who served at Fort McHenry. We're fortunate enough that we have her diaries. She's written some wonderful vignettes. And these were written several years after the war. But she wrote some wonderful vignettes about her service there, but then folks she would encounter, different soldiers. And from all over, and also she writes about life at General Hospital Number 2. What's nice is that she's provided for us sort of a concise description of what their service really meant, and so I brought that with us because, fortunately, Emily, in her own words, has really summed up what they've done.
Share just a little bit with us.
Certainly, certainly. Our work here was no less heroic or glorious than the ones who went over. There would be no waving of flags for us, no sense of danger faced in common, but it was we who had to recreate out of the wreckage of war clean, whole, and useful men, fit to fight or live in a better world we intended to have after the fight was ended. Only in that way could we prove that we were fit for democracy, not only to fight for it and to die for it, but to live for it.
Why did you choose that passage from Emily Raine Williams?
Because I think that in those words, she really does encapsulate what their mission was. And it was, in many instances at Fort McHenry, they are rebuilding, as she says, out of the wreckage of war. They're rebuilding men. And when we think about the work of General Hospital Number 2 with maxillofacial reconstructive surgery, with occupational therapy, with a lot of the psychological work that they're doing and documenting issues relating to post-traumatic stress disorder, they are in some ways physically rebuilding men through reconstructive surgery. But in many ways, they're attending to, you know, the spirit by keeping morale up, by retraining soldiers for civilian life once they're discharged from the Army. And by helping them to cope with what they've faced, they're looking at, you know, body, soul, and spirit, and all of it, and rebuilding those men. So I think that her words give us a very clear idea of what her mission was, how she saw it, and what we found that many others see as their mission in the war was to actually rebuild that. The community that would come after the war and focus on how they could prepare men for the future.
Tell me about the women called the SPARs.
Oh, well, the SPARs are actually the Coast Guard equivalent to the Women's Army Corps. When we think about the SPARs, we're thinking of the same function in that women would serve in the military, not in combat roles, but they would perform administrative tasks, perform a great variety of tasks for these service branches, and it would free up men for combat roles. You would find SPARs at Fort McHenry during this period when the Fort McHenry Coast Guard training station was on site. And they would not only perform certain tasks, you know, and usually they're largely administrative, but you have sometimes, you would have women mechanics, you have, when you get into some of the Army Corps work, you know, tasks, you're going to find women pilots. Not combat pilots, mind you, but you would find them as pilots. One SPAR who commented saying that she felt it was necessary for her to get involved and help end the war rather than sitting at home and waiting for it to end. So there are a lot of women who, we don't have all of their names, unfortunately, but we have from some of their writings, their great sense of purpose, of feeling a need to become involved in this, you know, very large conflict that's affecting not only events overseas, but certainly at home.
So this is a one-time tour for Women's History Month tomorrow afternoon. Might the tour be offered again?
I hope so. this is an interesting experiment for me. I only recently wrote this tour, although I'd been interested in some of the topics for some time. So I thought, well, we'll see how it goes for Women's History Month. And if people are interested, then I'm certain that we'll consider offering it more often.
What would you like visitors to come away with from the tour?
With every tour, I really like visitors to come away wanting to know more about the subject. One of the things that interpreters do is help to provoke people to think about, to think critically about history and to start to examine it after they've left the park. And so for women's history, many people may not know these stories, but there are other stories throughout the National Park Service you'll find where we focus on how women have contributed. So I'm hoping that as people leave the park, what they can start thinking about is, you know, Fort McHenry is an amazing place that tells us about the Battle of Baltimore, of course, and it tells us about the writing of the National Anthem. And so we have those stories, but there are other ones behind that, and there are other roles that are being filled in the community. And we need to look at some of those people who maybe you haven't heard about them yet, but they were very important in their time, and maybe to reflect on how women have contributed. So I'm hoping that people will start becoming more curious about women's history.
Well, I appreciate you telling us about it.
Oh,
really? You've piqued my curiosity.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
National Park Ranger Shannon McLucas designed a walking tour to mark Women's History Month. It's called Proprietress, Patriot, Nurse, and Spy, The Unconventional Women of Fort McHenry. It's happening tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Fort McHenry National Monument and Historic Shrine, 2400 East Fort Avenue. We have a link to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Short break and then a Stoop story. Stay tuned on the record.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.